God bless you, brothers and sisters. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning? Ask Brother Francis up front here if he would lead us the Lord in prayer this morning.
Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning.
Yes.
We thank you for your grace and mercy.
Yes.
We thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we are here by grace.
Yes.
We are here because we love you. Father, we cannot love you because you have to help us to love you.
Yes.
Father, we need everything on you.
Yes.
Father, we are here because we want to see you.
Yes.
We want to see your word.
Yes.
We want to see how you are, Lord.
Yes.
Because your love is greater than everything, Lord.
Yes.
Father, help my brother to give us all that we need. To give us everything that, Father, we can get close to you.
Yes.
Father, you told Moses that, go to Egypt, I'll be with you, Lord.
Yes.
That word will be with you, Father, help us
yes.
to be our brothers and sisters here. Be with us, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we need you. We love you.
Yes.
Help us to give us everything that we need again, Lord.
Yes.
Be with us this morning and bless your word. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles, if we would, to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians, chapter 2. Volume just a little bit further down, if you would, Brother Damon. Amen. Okay. Sorry, just a little bit up, Brother Damon. Just a little bit. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. Lord, add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. Continue on by God's grace in the topic of identification. Identification. Now looking at the scripture here and the message, identification Primarily, we're going to try to delve even further in the subject. And just looking at the scripture in Philippians chapter 2, just breaking it down here just for a couple moments before we get into more of the message. But it says, this is very powerful and important to pay attention to every word that's spoken here. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And so the continuity of the Word of God is so powerful and very important because, you know, God's thought runs through the whole entire Scripture and on to the message of the hour. They're all one together. And so when he says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, the mind that was in Christ, which was the Word. But when you break down the Word, it was the character of God. Because when he spoke, the Word was God. The Word, God is a person. So the Word is a person, so it is a characteristic of God. And so now let this characteristic of God be in you. So you are a character because you have a personality because that's the way you were born, right? You have a makeup. You can only be who you are by the makeup that you were born with, right? And so when you're displaying your characteristics, then that is what was inborn already into you. Amen. So now when he says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, a Christian is Christ-like. So, yes. So the attributes of a Christian are the same as Christ,
Amen.
Right? And so now he wants that mind to be in you that was in Christ Jesus, so the same characteristic. So you You can't have those characteristics of Christ until you become one with him. And so you totally give up who you are and let the Christ be there in its place. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he's saying, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I don't think we're going to be able to talk about the mind here this morning, but probably in the future here. Now, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So he was in the form of God, Christ himself, right? And then not robbery to be equal. How come he thought it not robbery to be equal with God? Because it was God himself through him, right? And so the same thing can be said of you and I when that life is there. And so as a child of God begins to take on that word of God and get the full revelation of Christ in that person's life, and it begins to be revealed and they have an understanding and a revelation of their position and who they are, then as they begin to display or manifest that, then people may say, hey, they're thinking they're equal with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? But that's not against the scripture. Because he said, you know, didn't you call the prophets that spoke the word of God gods? Yeah. So we see that there will be a time, I believe, because Jesus had that persecution. He says, you being a man, make yourself God. Right. But is that too different to what the bride, as she begins to manifest herself, that people will say the same things of her? She will be spoken against. And it will, and I'm just emphasizing this, it will be from people around this message. If you look at the scriptures, it's always been that way. Always around the message of the hour is where the persecution came. And so, remember the type, Eve, the mother of all living, but Cain and Abel, different fathers. And so we are in this gathering of a church, right? Female. But some have different fathers, right? I'm just speaking the truth here. We've got to speak what the word says and what it shows. And so, moving on here, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. So now he's displaying or characterizing who this person is. What are his characteristics? So no reputation. He didn't have much to show in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes, he was the Son of God. You understand? And so when we look at ourselves, we ought not look at ourselves in the mirror of the world or what they think is successful. Right. Neither in the church world of what they think is successful. Amen. Right? Amen. I mean, when we went through the character of Demas, he was, Brother Bram talked about him, being a minister type, being a spirit-filled man, being this and that type of person, but he was looking at a different lens, right? And that's why he left Paul. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. So now we look at the word and what our character should be like. So if Jesus was of no reputation and humbled himself as a servant, then what ought our life to be, right? With one another, with outside the congregation, to the people that we meet on a daily basis, are we trying to project something to show that we are something, or are we letting Christ just live through us and do the manifestation? Are we trying to persuade others about the message of the hour and say that, I know we're not going to say we do this intentionally, but we try to show that, hey, your way is wrong, my way is right. And let me show you how to live like me. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to be careful that we don't go into the carnal way of presenting Christ. Amen. Now we'll go into that a little bit deeper here in a little bit. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So this humbleness part here, humbling ourselves to the ways of God and what he has told us, and so what we know that he desires of us. And so as we look in the scriptures and the message, and we see that, because the message, I believe, is displaying the mind of God or the thought of God and his desire for us. And so he displays through the message and the prophet's life of what God believes is important for us and what he wants and what he doesn't like, right? And so humbling ourselves means to take that and really take it to heart, what he has said, and say, where am I falling short in this? You know, I want to obey it, right? See, the unhumble heart says, well, it can be this way, or it can be that way, or try to reason out of it some way, or try to find a loophole in the message, right? See, a true child of God has a desire in their heart to follow exactly what God says, and they may not understand it, right? And they may not interpret it correctly even, right? But they follow it with their whole heart. So it's without sometimes total understanding, total revelation, but they say, this is what God said. This is the way I understand it, you know, and then I'm just going to live it to the best of my ability. And then God may reveal more of the true understanding of that. So it may say something like, something simple like, you know, kick the television out of the house or whatever. So there are people that would reason and say, well, you know, it's different today, so, you know, it's okay, and there's a lot of good stuff. Okay, that's fine, and maybe there is a further revelation of that. But when we see it, and we see it for what it is, and we may not have the full revelation, but we take it and we say, okay, I'm going to do that. It's gone. Then that shows the heart, right? They're not waiting for God to prove himself. They just know that God said this, and then I'm going to embrace it the best that I can and until he reveals otherwise, right? Because he says, Brother Branham makes a statement, he talks about revelation or understanding the word of God. He says, this is what I understand it to be. And he always puts a comma at the end. He doesn't put a period. It's not the end of it because God can always reveal more, right? But it's the attitude of our heart that he's looking for. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's the obedience that God is looking for in the believer. Now, we know that that obedience to death came at the end of his ministry. Because it was a walk a certain way, and I believe it was the toughest test for Jesus, was to submit himself to death. We saw it in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I believe Brother Branham said that was his toughest trial. I mean, he was sweating, and then he was sweating as drops of blood, the scripture says. So it was an agonizing time, but he was obedient unto that ultimate pinnacle obedience of the word. It was the last piece. And so you and I, you know, if he was our example, then you and I must get to that point that we have an obedience to Christ that would go to the same as Gethsemane. Now, we may not be there right now, but you know, God, by his grace, brings us A little step higher, a little step higher at a time, right? And so we've got to just walk with him. Walk in his ways as he's leading us. You know, the scripture says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we must walk in the Spirit of God in his leading. And the only way that we can walk is in his leading is be sensitive to him. And the only way to be sensitive to him is have a true relationship with him. And that relationship comes by communion and fellowship and communication with him. So if we're not spending time with Christ, then we can't have a relationship with him. If we don't talk to him and spend time with him and listen to hear his voice, then we don't have a relationship. And so we may say we have a relationship, but it's not, it's like a dysfunctional marriage. You know, they may be married together as far as they took their vows with the preacher and they're living in the same house, but they don't truly have a marriage together. And so in order for God to reveal himself, his secrets, what he wants truly from us, a further understanding of his word so that we can understand who we are and our position, we've got to have that relationship with him. Because when a husband feels comfortable with that wife and has confidence with that wife, and knows that she won't blab everything out, then he begins to reveal more and more to her, right? At the same time, he knows that she will make mistakes. She may say things accidentally. You know, Brother Branham gave that case. He was explaining things too much, and he was corrected, but did God kick him out? No. And so you and I, we will make mistakes, not intentional, but we sometimes big mistakes. But that just shows more of God's grace in our life, right? Okay, now let's continue on. So in the message identifications, I just want to hit on a few emphasis items and see how the Lord leads. This statement, I believe, is very powerful. I read it last week, but I believe it's worth mentioning again. Let our lives be so salty that others can watch the way we act and live. That they'll want to live that way too. You know, Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its testimony, its savor, its drawing power, then it can no more heal or save." Salt saves when it contacts. So we as children of God have got to be salty. There's got to be a power that emanates from us. And so we know that what takes away the power is introducing man's ideas, man's thoughts that are contrary to the word of God, and then it blending together. And we know that the message says when, you know, the Antichrist, and Antichrist is just anti-word, but when those things mix in together, then it'll make us powerless. And so we've got to be salty and let that life, remember, it's the life of Christ that we're trying to allow God to project through us. And that is what he ultimately wants. He doesn't care about how much we know. He wants to translate his life through us, through our mind, through our heart, and let that life be projected out. So now, so he says, talking about the salt. So now that's the basis, the life that's projected from our life. And that, and when I look through the message, I see that being a big point that Brother Branham is trying to make towards the end of his ministry, because this message is identification, identifying who Christ is by his characteristics, by his life. He preached several messages in 1964 outlining this identified masterpiece of God. He says, recognizing your day and its message so you can recognize the characteristics of God through his word and that word displayed. You see, Jesus was the revelation of Christ. So all that God was, he was in Christ, but Christ was revealing who God was, who the heart of God was. And so when he began to live his life, his qualities, his personality, the way he did things, that was all showing God. It was a revelation. Remember the scripture talks about, or Brother Branham preached this message called, God is his own interpreter, right? And so he gives his examples. He says, you know, when God said, let there be light, and then there was light, that was the interpretation, right? So the manifestation or the word becoming reality is the interpretation of the word, right? So now we look at the word and some things we look at and we see, you know, we try to make sense of it and we try to interpret it. We're not supposed to do that. We're just supposed to take it as it is. But now, he wants us to continually feed on the word because that comes into our mind. And it settles in our mind. And then at a certain point, it comes into our heart. So not all the word at the same time comes from the mind to the heart. Because when it becomes into the heart, then it becomes a revelation. And then it becomes a reality to us, right? And so you can read the Bible and read the message, and sometimes it just comes into the mind. It just can be words, and I'm just speaking plainly. You know, I was speaking to Brother Mike Mabe about this the other day, and talking about sometimes when you listen to the message or read the message or the scripture, it doesn't, you know, bring a lot of excitement or inspiration or, you know, a charge, you know? It's because it's coming through here, right? But, you know, we are talking about it and, you know, everybody, God is dealing with them a different way and, you know, everybody's in a different position in their walk. And talking about that, you know, I was telling him that right now in the stage of my life that I'm going through that, you know, I am trying to let God lead me to certain messages to listen to. And when I follow that leading, then as I begin to read and study that message, it becomes an inspiration in my heart. And it becomes alive. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this message is not, it's not just words that we continually just fill in our minds, but that God is trying to bring it to life. Remember, Brother Branham was talking about when he comes to the pulpit, he's got to have the inspiration. And so he's got to, something has got to inspire him. When you get inspired, you get excited. You get, there's life there, right? And then as you begin to speak, you know, you really mean what you're saying. Because God has shown it to you, he's revealed it to you, and you're excited about it, and then you want to give that to the people, right? And so that's why preachers, they, you know, they get excited about something because God has revealed something to their heart and they begin to push that out, right? We know that everybody, when I say that, we're just taking little data points, if you will, because I'm not trying to make everything as doctrine. You understand what I'm saying? Because somebody who's just teaching something and making some points, I'm not saying that they don't have life coming through them. They may have that may be their expression of the way they're displaying that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because some people have a very reserved personality. Some people have a very gregarious personality. You understand what I mean? Okay, so I'm trying to, you know, make sure that you're not taking it and running with a certain direction, just taking the whole picture. So, now, he makes a statement here, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way. It's just another example, okay? make sure I finish that thought about this displaying. Let me backtrack a little bit. So when he said the word, let there be light, and it became light, that was the manifestation, that was the interpretation of the word. And so the things that he's talking about us, for example, when it becomes manifest, then there is the interpretation. So now let me bring it closer. So Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, when he began to live his life, and he began to fulfill the scriptures, and he showed the same characteristics that were spoken of him, Isaiah 53, Psalms 22, different scriptures. You know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was bruised for our iniquity. You know, he was beaten and all these different things, and he was humbled. All those characteristics, when he began to live that life, then that was the manifestation, or that was the interpretation of that word. Yes. Now, you and I, when we began to live this Christian life, and the Spirit of God indwells us, and we more and more as we walk, it begins to display in our lives. Yeah. Say, we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, you know. Say, we're talking about the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, certain scriptures. And when we begin to display that in our life, that is the interpretation of the word. Amen. So, it's not just trying to remember a bunch of doctrine, but it's taking that word and what he really saying about it, embracing it, and you getting the revelation, and now it's displaying in your life. Amen. And then now you are the interpretation of that word. Yes. And so now God is revealing himself to the world through you. Amen. So you become the revelation of the word. And so now, Brother Branham makes a statement that people will not read their Bible, but they will see you and I. Amen. And so you and I are the display of Christ or the Bible to them. We are the witnessing tool, if you would, to the people. That's right. Okay, so when they see our life and they're drawn to it, that shows what's inside of them. Because if they're drawn to that life, then they are attracted to God. They're attracted to the Word. It may not necessarily be you taking the Bible and going through all the scriptures and saying, you know, God sent a prophet and, you know, this is what serpent sees, this is the truth about water baptism. It may not be that. Remember, the message was Christ, the person of Christ. And so, you and I, when we fully embrace that and display that, that is the interpretation of that word. Amen. So now, moving on to this other statement here. Okay, so he says this in paragraph 20 in identification. When we are going to go, try to get through early so we can let the people out and not hold you. I made a little rude remark this week that I keep you long through the nighttime. If I know just to miss a day's work, that won't hurt you. But I said Saturday night. Now, don't take this wrong, because I'm going to kind of go through it. Can't keep you long at all, because you can't miss Sunday school. You must be there at your post of duty. So now I won't keep you long tonight, because I certainly want you there tomorrow night. That's what we've been driving for, this great time. Now, We're not being legalistic. I'm just going to throw that out there. We're not judging people, but I'm taking this as an example, and this is not a doctrine, though. So the prophet makes a statement like that. And so a true child of God, no matter if they understand it or not, they know that God sent this prophet. They know that he gave them the revelation of the word. He's revealing the mind of God. He makes a statement like that. And so Whether there is a different nuance or a revelation of what that means, the true child of God takes that word and places it in their heart and says, I want to obey that word. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me, you know, because people tend to reason and rationalize things. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, it could be, you know, well, Sunday school is the same thing as service, or, you know, I'm going to service, so why do I need to come to Sunday school? Or, you know, I can get it, you know, after the service, you know, listening to it or something like that whenever I want to or something like that. That's fine. I'm not saying what the revelation of this is. But I'm just saying that a true child of God wants to do everything that God has spoken of, whether they understand it or not. They'll take it into their heart and things. And so now, and not, don't take this as doctrine or don't judge other people by this. I'm just saying, so when somebody does that and tries to follow every word of God, and this, we'll take this for example, and they come every time to Sunday school or as much often as they can, it shows an identification. Do you understand what I'm saying? It shows an identification that of something is in that person's heart to want to obey that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not what we say. It's not exactly like, hey, I know this about the message, believe this. Hey, God bless you, brother, and, you know, showing all that. It's your obedience to the word and your life that you're displaying. Do you understand? So I don't, because everybody comes to church or Sunday school, what have you, for different reasons. Some people may come because, you know, they feel like it's their duty to come. Some people come because other believers are coming, so they don't want to be looked at differently, so they come. Some people come because their parents told them to come. Some people come because they're motivated to come because they want to hear the word of God as much often as they can. Some have seen that it says in there what to do, and they come. Do you understand? So we're talking about identification. Now he says this in this message. He says, now remember when he talks about the character or the life that comes in. He says, I want to repeat this because it'll warm up our minds, and then I will be able to speak on it. So he says, now Jesus gave us the example of what we ought to be looking at when he reflected his life to us through the word. What we should see. When we look into God's mirror, we should see ourselves identify with him. That is a perfect example. So when we look at the word and the message, and we see a matching there with our life, then we know that we're on track, right? If we don't see that, then we know that we're off somewhere. We're following this direction, whether it's worldlyism, churchianity. You know, when I say churchianity, I'm talking about church going, not necessarily in Christ. So he says this, now, but we find out that as we go along through life, that our character molds the image that we are. Each one knows that. You, as you live, so is your character, molds you to what you are. So hold that thought there. The character molds the image that we are. Now he says, now you have seen people that you just love to be around, yet they might not exactly be in your bracket of society. And again, they might be of a different race, the colored or the brown or the yellow, but they're just something about that character that you just love to be in their presence. Because each person is a little dynamo of their own, and you put out an atmosphere. Now I'm going to show the contrast here. And then you see people that were noble people, but yet you were always glad to get away from them. It's just they create such an atmosphere around where they are. Nothing against them. They're nice people, but you just don't like that atmosphere. They're in, and their character creates whatever they are, makes them what they are. Now, I'm going to bring an example here, and it's probably all at the time I have. But I remember when I came here in 2007, and it was July, I believe, of 2007 when our family moved here. And, you know, I had been to different message church. Remember, this is my first home church, right? So I've been to different message churches before I came here. And, you know, my life was a little bit different. Everybody has their own testimony. We don't have time to go into my testimony, but, you know, being in the military, moved different places, God always guides us to those places, but I never had a home church, really. Just learned the message through people that I met to along the way. But I went to enough churches to get a understanding of different churches and how they operate. When I came here, you know, the first service, and I remember it very distinctly because it was shortly, and I don't want to bring up things that will cause people to sorrow, but it was when Brother Esperanza had just passed away, and we came right after that. And so there was it was kind of right after that they were going to have a memorial service. But when I came in to the service and, you know, the atmosphere that was there, it just brought tears to my eyes, right? I mean, there was just, I didn't feel like that before. And it was like a watershed type of thing where things began to just peel off and I just began to weep the whole time. And then as Brother Mike came up to the platform and he just stood there and he was talking, I felt that there was a projected power that was coming there. I'm not making this up, brothers and sisters. And so I felt that coming from the pulpit, and I couldn't explain it, and I had not witnessed it very much other places. And so long story short about some things, you know, God revealed to me that Brother Mike was my pastor and I was to stay here, right? There's all kinds of series of events that happened after that. But I noticed also, and this is not taking away from any other brothers or anything, but I'm just trying to make a point here. So, you know, you would have a song leader that would come up and say it was, you know, Brother Johnny Schaefer, he's leading songs and different things. Okay, it's going a certain direction. And then I just remember when Brother Mike came up to the pulpit and he started to speak, I just sensed a different projection. It was like an atmosphere. It was a power that was emanating. I could sense it very distinctly, right? And so, you know, God always vindicates his word. So when he says something to you, he will back up what he's saying. So now when I, you know, just an example. So he tells me that in my heart that, you know, Brother Mike's my pastor and I need to stay here until further notice. And then when I see those kinds of confirmation and vindication, then it tells me that something is right, right? Because the word is, it vindicates itself. Vindicate means backs it up, confirms it, you know, shows that it is right by an evidence. So just trying to say that this is real. Now, I'm going to say one more example and we're going to stop. God has to sometimes let us know about, confirm to us about our walk with him. And it helps us, it helps us to know that we're on the right track and that we're going in the right way by some type of feedback to us or some type of confirmation. This is just a little testimony. So I'm meeting with somebody. I'm just a normal doctor's appointment kind of thing. And this man, he's just asking me questions and things. And all of a sudden, he starts going into religion, you know. And he says, yeah, you know, what do you believe? And I said, I'm a Christian. He's like, because I think it started off with, how many kids do you have? I said, 6. Are you Catholic? You know, always get that, or Mormon. And then I said, I'm a Christian. He says, okay, you know, are you a minister, right? I'm not telling him this, but he asked that question. I said, yes, I am. And then we have this conversation. Ends up this man, he had a supernatural experience, you know, a long time ago when he was a kid. He starts to talk about this. And then I said, are you a Christian? He says, well, you know, I haven't declared that I'm a Christian. And then I said, tell me a little bit more about your life. And he talked about all these different supernatural experiences. And I said, you know, so God has been showing you who he is. And, you know, why don't you give it up to him? He says, well, I haven't got to that point yet. And I said, okay. And he felt like I'm too late kind of thing. I said, it's never too late for God, right? You know, God's got appointed time for everything. He knows everything. And sometimes he allows us, part of it's his plan, perhaps, that it comes to this point of the road very late in the game. And so we talked, and I told him about a man sent from God and that book and trying to get that to him. And it ended up with this statement. He says, you know, I knew that you were a Christian because there was like an aura that's projected, and I can feel that, he says. So he said, he knew there was something there and that I was a Christian. I'm not saying that to boast or brag or anything. I'm just trying to say that this word becomes manifest. If we truly believe this word and embrace it with our hearts and truly want Christ in our life and follow all the steps that he's given to us, then he will become manifest in our life. And then there comes the interpretation of this word that he spoke, right? Let's all stand. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we love you and thank you so much for who you are and what you've done, O Lord. Lord, I see that you're opening up yourself and further revealing who you are, O Father, Lord Jesus. And you spoke of that as we get near the end, these things would be revealed more. These things would be manifested more, O Father. And Lord Jesus, we're not looking to other things. We're looking to you, O Father. Keep us focused on you, O Lord Jesus. Lord, because there's nothing else, O Father, that's worth anything at all. Where would we go, O Father? We need you because you have life and every good thing that we know of, Father. Lord Jesus, help us. Help us to continue to walk. Help us to develop a stronger relationship with you and have more fellowship with you. And Lord Jesus, we know that we're coming close to the end, so Lord Jesus, there is a press, O Father. And Lord, help us to realize what we are to be doing more and more. Lord Jesus, we ask that you lay your hand upon the service that's coming forth, O Lord Jesus. Bless the song service. Lord Jesus, may your hand be upon it. We want to praise you and sing praises into your name, O Lord. Lift you up on high because we love you. And Lord Jesus, the preaching of the word, O Lord Jesus, take control of the man of God, O Lord Jesus. He be used 100% as a vessel, Lord, speaking thy word, O Lord, straight from your thoughts. Lord, bless those that are not here. Lord, keep them, dear Father. Those that are traveling, dear Lord Jesus, be with them. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Please be seated. Amen. Father Michael, God bless you. Amen. God bless you.